Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gaslight. Check them out at the corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard in St. Louis, Missouri. Come on over there. It's a beautiful recording studio attached to a bar that shares a wall with Cha Cha Chow, so you can come get some tacos, some cold drinks, and watch one of your favorite bands in the studio recording. It's a lot of fun, really unique experience. Got a couple fun events coming up for you on March 4th. Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals will be there for their listening party. They got a brand new record they just recorded at Gaslight, and they want you to hear it. So come on over there, and that'll be on Saturday the 4th, 8 to 11. On Sunday, the March 5th, is the one-year anniversary of Gaslight. So you can come over there and hang out for that, and come wish them a happy birthday. Also mark the calendar for March 8th, and you can come over and see Scrub live in the studio doing a Gaslight sessions. So, check it all out. Full listing of events, everything at GaslightSTL.com. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Howdy, folks. It's Ryan here.
Wayne.
And I'm Andy.
We're with Oak Steel and Lightning. We're with Rock Paper Podcast. You gotta say it like that.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here. Rock Paper Podcast coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with the guys of Oak Steel and Lightning. Welcome back to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, last time we kind of hung out a couple while back when we were in the back of Ryan's van.
My van.
Yeah. Talking about, what's up?
Picking on who's
off? Yeah, picking. There we go.
Yeah. It's a much better environment.
Yeah.
Cooking in the kitchen here.
You're right.
Better company this time, too. We don't have that damn Jesse.
Oh, yeah.
Jesse.
Really bother us.
Yeah.
Stealing my limelight.
Stealing all your women.
Yeah. I figured it'd be cool to get together. We got a brand new record to talk about. We got a release party. We got a tour. We got a lot of things in the works.
A lot of things on the plate. A lot of shit hitting the fan all at once.
Yeah. The party will be on March 8th, Thursday night.
It's a Wednesday night.
Or Wednesday night, sorry about that. Yeah. 8 p.m., and that'll be over at Off Broadway in St. Louis. And you guys are bringing along friends, Still Shine.
Yep, I believe it's their first time to St. Louis. They're out of Peoria, Illinois. Some good friends of ours up there made sure that they can make it down here. They're really an awesome band. Kind of a little bit newgrass, but they've definitely got some that old feeling still in it with some little bit of drums like mandolin and harmonica.
Yeah.
And they're going to be a great opener. And we also got Hillary Fitz band on the bill, which she's always got something up her sleeve, so
sure.
Should be a good night.
Yeah, she's definitely become a favorite in town for me to watch. Like she's just a lot of fun, and she's
super
great.
Super versatile, and
yeah.
Just being able to roll with the punches and make things happen.
Yeah, and she got some great players with her too for the band, so that'll be a fun night. So $10 to get you in, and that includes the new album.
The new album, Chasing the Sunset. It's our first full-length effort. We put out an EP, I believe it was last year, right about this time. Things all came together for us to be able to get it out in time for tour and get the CD release party happening.
14 songs.
14 Ooh. Songs. There's
It's a whopper.
Yeah.
3 songs from the last album, Chasing the Sunset, was on the first album, Tiny Acorn. But we really kind of feel like that song fits the mood and sets the tone for the whole record, and some really nice sonic cohesion throughout the whole thing. It really, I'm stoked about how it turned out.
Yeah. Where'd you guys record?
We recorded at Fat Buddha Studios down, off of Locust.
Mm-hmm. They're super accommodating and easy to deal with. Ross
the boss.
The boss.
He made it happen, and Mike Landau and Brad down there, they definitely took care of us, took good care of us.
No matter how many times we redid a song, which we didn't have to do a whole lot, but Ross never once seem annoyed or hesitated to go back. I mean, he was just super easy to work with, man.
Yeah.
So, become highly recommended. I think they're generally known as like a hip-hop studio in the city, but trying to bring some honky-tonk in their lives, and I think they liked it.
Yeah. Cool, man. Yeah, this... I'm excited to give it a listen. I haven't got to check it out yet, but you guys sent me a couple tracks to a little sneak peek of it. You said you guys wanted to play Merrimack Rising.
Yep, yeah. That's a song me and Andy wrote right after the flood of 2015. It's kind of, I don't know, a little bit of an emotional song. A lot of our friends live down by the river and experience it all the time, but this one was kind of one for the record books, and it kind of just, I don't know, gets me a little teared up thinking about it.
Yeah.
I think it's my favorite song on the album.
It's one of the...
Even though I didn't have anything to do with it.
It's one of the more complicated songs, I think, that we play. It has a lot of depth. It shows a little more depth in our writing that we don't necessarily show in some of our other songs, maybe. I feel like this one's got a little more of our true sound to it. It's starting to dive a little more into what the band really sounds like.
We're maturing.
Yeah, I think so.
We're maturing.
We got a lot of party songs, which I feel like the party songs sell beers and get people to get rowdy and have
people
a good
have
time.
To dance.
Yeah.
But we're a little bit deeper than that too, I think. We got more going on up here in our heads as we get a little bit older and
right.
Start thinking about how maybe we shouldn't be partying all the time.
Yeah, but we're not faking our party sounds. We mean it.
Yeah.
Never said that. I never said that.
take it away. The land of plenty will rob you someday when the water comes to wash it all away. Me and Max Rising, we're on the move again. Cold muddy water come to wash away my sin. Raise enough money.
Then we got another one called Honky Tonkin'.
And yeah, that's one Wayne wrote. I'll let him tell you all about that.
This sounds like maybe the opposite of what we just talked about.
Yes.
Well, I spent a lot of time trying to write a lot of songs that were, you know, deep and had all this meaning. And then I realized, man, sometimes those songs aren't even that much fun to listen to or play. So I decided just to write kind of a more, I don't know, like a shallow, just fun song about honky-tonkin'. Yeah. So it's just a fun four-on-the-fourth song about honky-tonkin'. And it's a story song. You know, I like all my songwriting heroes tell a story. So the song does tell a story about a struggling band and all the crap they go through, you know, trying to do their thing. And that's what it's about. So it's just a good four-on-the-floor song.
Give me that funky-tonk.
Let's get the song done, man.
Sanity and sleep. Well, Merle says he's a working man. He don't work like me. He don't cut his own grass or buy his own groceries. Honky tonkin', yeah, on stage with the band. And I'll drink some beer and whiskey, work on this neon tan. Sanity and sleep.
to make things right, honky tonk. Yeah, they towed our Chevrolet. They drunk up all the whiskey and soaked up all our cocaine.
Brought in Spanky. How do you pronounce his last name?
I want to say Manas, Philip Manas, but everybody knows him by Spanky. Spanky.
Yeah.
He came in and he's on our whole CD.
Not the whole CD, he's on three songs.
I thought he was in more songs than that. Well, he hung out there most of the time.
Well, but we all know what Spanky was doing when he was hanging out.
But we especially worked him over pretty hard on Honky Tonkin', and that really brought that song to life, so I couldn't be more stoked to hear it come to life.
If I'm not mistaken, that was the last song we did on Saturday and the first song we did on Sunday, because we didn't quite get it right, and Spanky showed up right whenever and I got into it, and it just went right off the top. It really just brought the band together even more. We got Tom Heath on pedal steel, and that he's not a full-time member, but I felt like for the recording we needed to really just hone in a little bit more on that classic sound that I hear.
And Tom was super easy to deal with too, man. Real laid back.
And
he's good looking.
Made the record
he's
sound
a handsome
awesome.
Boy.
We also got Andy Grassi is a new addition, full-time member to the band. Back in November, we called him up. We needed a guitar player that could leave for the road in about 4 hours notice. And he saved the day, not only that day, but has been saving the day ever since. So we're happy to have him on board as a full-time member and making things happen on the Telecaster back there in the back.
Yeah. Yeah. How are things since joining Oak, Steel, and Lightning?
I've been digging it a lot, man. I really like the songs and being a part of the new CD. I think was really important and really, you know, made the deal solid for me, knowing that we're coming up with good new stuff to be a part of, you know, and we're working too, you know, getting a lot of shows in. I'm looking forward to going to Colorado for the second time with these guys. I think they're pretty easy to travel with, and we've had some hard knocks the last time we, you know, with the vehicle and stuff, and we kind of came over everything. So,
what's your van's name?
Jackie.
Yeah, Jackie kept breaking down on us.
Yeah,
well, we had to replace the fuel pump. Well, let's dive a little deeper in that story. We pull up at Camp Darville, home of Jimbo Darville and the Truckadors out in Frederick, Colorado. And
they're a bunch of scoundrels.
They're setting up for their first event out there. Not only do they have a place for traveling bands such as us to kind of hang out, but also they're trying to make it a music venue and do events out there a few times a year for charity and whatnot. But this is their first event. We get out there and pull in, and we kind of noticed a little ticking going on with the fuel pump and pulled it down to where we could check it out and where we could get underneath it and really hone in on what the problem was.
Yeah, we're just lucky that I'm a mechanic by trade. So I was like, man, that's a fuel pump getting ready to die. And luckily,
I believe it was Nikki that noticed the sound, but once we heard it, it was on.
She did. I actually noticed it about half an hour before that, was just going to ignore it. Then once somebody else brought it up, suddenly it was actually a reality. I'm like, well, two people know about it. I guess we have to fix it.
So while we're figuring out the fuel pump, Jimbo's hauling different equipment from one side of the farm to the other and throws the truck in reverse and just hauls ass across this little bridge. And like we're watching from a distance and see him. Just, like everyone was like, no, he's not going to know. Bam. Hit the side of the van, smashed in the door really hard.
And in case Jimbo's insurance company's happening to listen to this, he was not drinking. What's the fun?
It's private property.
It is private property.
Private property. Anyways, so he took care of us, bought us a fuel pump, made sure that the fuel pump got fixed. So that was a blessing in disguise, sort of.
Ryan actually cussed Jimbo up and down and twisted his arm into buying the fuel pump.
I don't think it was quite like that.
Jimbo felt pretty bad.
He did feel bad.
He actually told me later on when you weren't around that he didn't really feel that bad about it.
That's all right. I used his credit card to buy a couple extra sneaker bars while I was at the nice. Station.
Nice.
So Wayne, you know, he didn't have the right tools or anything to really do this procedure, but he dropped the fuel tank basically by himself.
It's 60 foot long. It's the biggest fuel tank I've ever seen.
It's a big van.
Yeah.
Dropped it by himself with the help of a couple of ratchet straps, and the ratchet straps are still holding the fuel tank up right now. But it got us back home. Not to mention the flat tire on the trailer.
Well, we got lucky because usually if you're in somebody's driveway at the foothills of the mountains in November in Denver, changing a fuel tank out, you're going to be miserable. It was like a 70-degree day. Total random shit.
Yeah.
So that kind of saved our butt.
For sure.
So it wasn't too bad. And I played guitar so poorly on the whole trip that really that was my redeeming thing on the trip, is to at least keep the vehicle running. You know.
So it all worked out.
Yeah.
Bottom line. So cheers to that, fellas.
Yeah.
Cheers. Holler and swaller. We say 1, 2, 3. Holler! Woo! That was pretty weak. At least you got the swaller right.
Yep. Learning from the best.
Wayne was telling a story in Honky Tonkin about here comes the rain.
Oh, man.
He said that tornadoes could be happening today.
We were talking about a band struggling in the story and the song and stuff, and now you guys are getting ready to hit the road and do some touring, and you had an unfortunate event.
The curse of the Colorado. What do you call it? The curse of the Colorado tour. It seems like every time we go out, there's some sort of event, which generally I want to say it like turns into like a better thing, because that's kind of how Andy ended up in the band. We needed a guitar player on the fly, and now he's stuck with it.
Well, I might interject that Oak, Steel, and Lightning runs on good attitudes and positive thinking.
Yes. Yeah, that's a very true statement, Wayne, is getting through the day-to-day ins and outs of keeping a band together can be tough at times, and especially taking it to the level that we're trying to take it to by getting out of town and playing shows on the road. Like, I feel like we feel like it's a necessity for us to actually do something with this band, with this music. We're bigger than this town, you know, as far as getting it out there. People love us everywhere we go, so why not go make a new fan one by one if we have to? Yeah. And if it means going broke in the process, I'm willing to do it, like, just to see the smile on people's faces, you know. And it is working. We're getting good gigs. We're getting some very nice got to open up for Blackhawk recently. We opened up for Whitey Morgan in the 78s back in December. That was a huge show for us at the Ready Room. So
people we never even met before were shaking their hands and buying us drinks.
And now, you know, we're seeing traction too. Like, we went to Cape Girardeau over the weekend, and people are requesting songs off the first disc and, like, calling us out for not playing, you know, Tiny Acorn, which we've kind of taken out of the set, because these songs that are on the new album, I think, flow a lot better without that. But it's nice to know that people still care about the older songs too.
Yeah, definitely. So you guys are getting ready to hit the road, heading to Colorado after this in the Soft Broadway show. March 8th is sort of a tour kickoff.
Tour kickoff, yeah. We're going to have our new CD in hands. Hopefully by Friday is when they said it'll be here. So that gives a little cushion in case anything does go awry. We should still have them all by Wednesday. And
yeah,
we're going to be playing the album in its entirety while we're there. 14 new songs, maybe a couple surprises along the way.
And but along with hitting Colorado, you guys gearing up for our festival season and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, festival season. We got a lot of those going on, too. You want to holler about those, Wayne?
Yeah, we got, well, hopefully we'll have some dates, random little dates between then and Mo Roots. So we got Mo Roots is like the end of May.
End of April, 27th to 29th.
Yep.
Right on.
Yeah.
So looking forward to that. Mark always puts together a really fun event out there, so.
Yeah, so that's going to be a good one. They're, you know, I get all my favorites down there every year, so it's...
There's a bunch of bands on the bill. I'm a big fan of the Hoot and Hollers. I think they're playing there as well. I think the day we're not there, I might have to hang around just to chum it up with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're playing the Kansas City, the Westport Roots Festival.
That's in May. I think we also are in soon negotiations with Cosmic Reunion. There's a chance Oak Seal and Lightning is going to be making an appearance there.
I'm feeling
that. Yeah.
So if that happens, that'll be super cool.
For sure, yeah.
Steve Miller Band.
Yeah, I just saw that announced that Steve Miller Band there. That's a pretty big deal. So that'd be the festival's already stacked full of great players.
For sure.
And then you had Steve Miller Band as a headliner. That's it's going to be a good weekend.
Hell yeah. We'll be stoked that we get to ink that deal soon.
Yeah.
So. I mean, Steve Miller's great and all, but Port Roots Festival have Dale Watson.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it's really hard, you know.
They have 100 bands on the Westport Roots Festival. 100 bands over, like, I think it's 2 days. It might be 3 days. But guys at Westport, Jody and Travis, they really take good care of us, too. Put us up while we're there. And the little
feed us.
They feed us.
Drink us.
Booze us.
Yeah.
Well, they have to give us a place to sleep then after that, after they do all that, because we get sleepy.
After
you do the eating and drinking until 3 a.m.
They have a ghost that lives above the studio.
We don't even talk about that. We're not allowed to talk about that. But you know what? We're not going to be able to do too much eating after the show this next time, because we're going to have to haul ass to get to Netherland. It's a 14-hour drive. No.
Well, we didn't even... So when we go to Colorado, there's Frozen Dead Guy Days Festival in Colorado, and we're playing at a bar that's like right outside of Netherland. So we're not technically playing at Frozen Dead Guy Days, but we're playing for a party.
A stage stop right down the road.
Super cool place. So we got to be there Saturday at like 4 p.m., and we're playing the late show in Kansas City that Friday night. So literally...
Till 2 a.m.
Yeah, so we have like 14 hours...
12 hours.
Pretty much, we got to get done playing, hop in the van, haul ass straight to Colorado, get out of the van,
and not have any flats on the car.
Yeah,
on the van.
But that's what it's all about, honky tonk.
Yeah.
Yep.
What do you guys feel like you bring to this record as far as influences and things compared to the EP and previous projects?
I can answer that first, probably. I would say I feel like this album, these songs together, me and Wayne, have a very different writing style, but somehow it still works pretty cohesively as a unit. Like, I think the songs work well together, and I think we got 4 songs out of the 14.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I feel like they belong on the album, you know, very much so. And I don't know. I'm kind of like when the branding side of things, we talked about, you know, maybe just releasing his songs on an album and using the same band and branding it as one thing and doing our thing separately, but it doesn't need to be that way, man. It works well together. We're working together, so.
There's no I in team.
Nope, not for sure.
You, are you guys splitting vocals in too? Or
man, vocals. You talk about bands and struggling, like behind the scenes stuff.
Oh man.
Yeah, we want to. Me and Ryan need to learn how to harmonize together better. And so that's one thing that we're always kind of, you know, we had one show, we listened to it back, and we're just like, whew. You know, luckily nobody showed up.
To the show?
Yeah. So, yeah, each one of us can hold our own. Ryan harmonizes with me pretty well, but I need to learn how to harmonize with him. So that's something that we're going to be getting better at. We're going to get serious and hunker down here in 2017. And
the Pines were telling me for their Olden in the Way thing, they worked 12 to 15 hours on the harmonies alone, like documented time.
Takes work, man. It's not all just fun and honky-tonking. It takes working.
I'm at it every day. Like, if I'm not playing music, we're working on something that has to be the band. Or
yeah, Ryan's wheels are spinning. Literally, ask his wife, 24 hours a day.
I know. I can't help it. It's hard to contain all the ideas that I have for this band, this project, and other people's projects, too. Like, I want to see everybody in this town succeed musically, because there's a lot of good music in this town. Like, and that's, you know, something about going out to Colorado. It's, they have good music out there, but they don't have Midwest music. They do have some, but we're Midwesterners, you know, bringing that to the table.
I don't even know if we realize that, you know, we're just playing music and we don't think about it as, like, you know, our sound. You know, it's just, we're just playing music, man. You know, we're writing stuff that we think is cool and having a good time. And we played a gig at a hole in the wall down in Nashville, and the few people that came out to the show, some dude was like, man, you guys got a different sound. And that was the first time that it kind of dawned on me that maybe we have a little bit of a different sound. Down there we do, you know. And then I had the same, I'm going to call it a compliment. We had the same compliments from people out in Colorado. Like, man, you guys just got a different sound. You know, and sometimes nobody said they liked their sound, but they didn't say it was different.
Maybe they were just, you know, specifically talking about your, like, you got a sound.
So I think it's just something that comes out of, you know, the Midwest, because, you know, Texas is a sound and Nashville is a sound, and, you know, everybody's got their sound, you know. And just by default, the Midwest sound is something that people haven't heard in some of the other places we get to go.
Sure.
So that's it. We'll use that to our advantage.
Yeah.
We got a weird background. I mean, Ryan's background in music was a lot of, I always joke around with him, call it all the hippie shit. But
a lot of Grateful Dead, a lot of jam bands, Fish. I mean, I've liked it all. Fish is, but I think both of those bands, though, in their respects, can have a country and or bluegrass
those
tone to
awesome.
Them at times. So I think that developed my love for this music and digging deeper in the catalogs of Willie Nelson and the Family Band, Waylon Jennings and Charlie Daniels and Marshall Tucker Band, and I mean, even Allman Brothers and stuff too. But Wayne, you kind of came up in the bluegrass circles
and
punk rock scene too.
Yeah, you know, riding BMX my whole life, definitely grew up in the punk rock scene. So and the punk rock is kind of like outlaw on steroids. You know, it's still, you know, three chord songs, and you know, punk rock was all about just bringing that energy and attitude to the song. And as I got a little older, you know, you can't go around punk rocking all the time. I kind of drifted into some more of the old, you know, Willie and Waylon and stuff like that. So, but I still feel like I kind of bring that attitude to my stage performance, you know, that kind of stick all my energy out there.
Sure.
And then Andy is,
I've been pretty much enveloped in roots music, American roots music, and a lot of really old stuff and stuff that happened long before me or my parents, or even, you know, more like my grandparents' generation of music. And when country music was really old, and when it was just first starting getting affected by the blues, you know. And I like a lot of the really old rock and roll too, and rockabilly, and all the old country music too. I really like it all, man. I'm very, you know, I don't focus too much on one kind of music, but unless there's a project for it, you know, and then I just kind of dig in for a while.
Well, I think that's kind of what's fun about Oak, Steel, and Lightning is we all kind of show those influences in the music that we're writing, and you can't really, we have a hard time really pinpointing, you know, what specific genre we are, because we're kind of touching on a lot of those things, you know, the bluegrass, the rockabilly, the honky-tonk. The waltzes, you know, like it's...
St. Louis has always been a melting pot, man.
For sure.
You know, rock and roll came out of here with Chuck Berry, and it's where the blues and country music first crossed, you know. Maybelline came out of here.
Yeah.
And we're still on that wave, I think.
It's hard. I was reading something that was in Rolling Stone magazine. It was talking about, as a band, questions you need to be prepared to answer as a band. And if somebody were to interview you and say, what's your sound? You better be ready to tell them. So I thought about that a lot, and I still don't have a damn answer for it.
Whiskey soaked honky tonk hillbilly grass.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had a good one the other day. But.
Hey, looking for some new music? Come on over to Music Record Shop, located on Locust, right over there in the new .Zack building. Come on over every Friday for new music, happy hour, and all the new vinyl in store. New records this week, March 4th, from Ed Sheeran, Senses Fail, Granddaddy, Twin Peaks, and a whole lot more. Shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. You can also find the full listing and details all there. You can come on over there to Music Record Shop on the 11th for their grand opening celebration. They're having a big party over there at the new location in the .Zack building. So come on over 2 to 5, March 11th for the grand opening. Follow them on Facebook for more listing of the upcoming events. And follow them on Twitter and Instagram also. And again, shop online 24/7, musicrecordshop.com.
We said it so many times.
Yeah.
Right.
And then not to leave Jason King out, because he couldn't be here tonight for the interview. But our drummer, Jason, you know, he brings to the table a lot of jam band influence. And he's laid back, just keeps a real steady beat back there for us. And I think Andy kind of said it, just something about the way he plays just makes everything just laid back. He just keeps a real cool tempo, and I don't know, it sets it up nice.
Yeah.
And he's all over the CD. It's great.
Mm-hmm. For sure. You said Andy playing Telecaster.
Yeah.
And Wayne saying he's trying to learn Telecaster, right?
Yeah, man.
What is it like? Why is, like, I mean, it seems like every country band has to have a Telecaster in it. Like, that's like the stamp.
It's something about that sound. And as much as it's about the sound for me, I think it's also about the look. Like,
it cuts through, man. Yeah. It cuts through the mix. It's bright. It's just like, it's alive, you know. And if you're going to stand out with something honky, you know, you got to really bring on some honk. It's bright. It's bright sound.
Andy's guitar is, you had somebody custom make that for you, didn't you?
Yeah,
you talking about that guitar.
Yeah, it's a really cool Telecaster I've been playing. It's a reclaimed wood pine from a grain elevator up in Duluth, you know, that was built in like the 1800s. So the pine that it came from was that old growth pine that was here, you know, when when it was not regrowth. And so it's like a really solid, dense, light wood that's, you know, the thing weighs like 6 pounds. It's
Lewis
really
and
light.
Clark possibly.
Yeah. And the sap pockets in it, the sap is actually crystallized. It's like amber, you know, in the guitar. So
what,
it
do
just,
you know, what do you know about sap pockets?
Yeah,
it's a hot sounding guitar, man.
Yeah, yeah, I'm happy with it. It's good.
Well, so yeah, we just got Wayne hooked up on the Telecaster too, and I even got one, even though, you know, I have no business playing one in the band as a bass player, but
I break strings all the time. So
we got that. It's Tele Country around here, y'all.
All right,
dude, I was playing acoustic rhythm guitar forever, and then, you know, Ryan's like, man, you need something that'll cut through and, you know, fill up our sound a little bit. So we get me hooked up with the Telecaster, and we start goofing around with a little bit of practice. I'm kind of feeling comfortable with it, get myself a nice amp, and the first gig that I played with the Telecaster was at the Ready Room, which is, I feel like that's a big venue in St. Louis, especially for us, you know.
So Blackhawk, nonetheless.
Yeah, opened up for Blackhawk, and those guys were all super cool. So I get up there, and that was my first gig with the Telecaster, and I didn't realize, I don't know, how loud and dominant the thing was going to be. Because, you know, practicing, I kind of got it turned up a little bit, and we got in that first song, and I hit that thing, and I'm just like, holy shit. I was like, you know, you really got to, like, you know, harness the power of the Telecaster, you know, because an acoustic guitar, I mean, you just dig in, yeah, you grind into that, those strings of that pick, and, you know, get as loud as you want. And the Telecaster, you really need to harness it, man. So it's
like riding a Hemi around town.
Tell you, Hemi, I told you about those.
You did.
It's another peril of life on the road, man. It's the semis. So yeah, I'm pretty stoked. Kind of getting so this album. I might mention that I had been playing Telecaster for about a month when we recorded all the stuff,
right.
And everything's done with the Tele. So
very cool.
Of course, I think Andy and Ryan went in and touched up a couple songs with some acoustics.
We put that one of
the resonators
on there.
Yeah,
sounds pretty good.
Well, you guys, fresh off of last night, filmed a new music video for the record.
Yeah, another one of the songs, a little more Willy. We're hoping to be able to drop it about the same time that you're playing this podcast and everything comes together for the CD release party, hopefully.
Yeah.
All about the same time, so I'll be looking for that coming out soon.
I guess we'll have it on our website.
It'll likely be on the website, and I'm sure it'll be all over Facebook and everywhere else.
OaksteelLightning.com.
Correct. Yeah.
And that was filmed at...
It was at Point Labadee Brewery, and I've been kind of working a relationship with those guys. It's in my old stomping grounds, and they just opened up in November. Their beer is really, really good. I don't like just say that about anybody's beer because it's nearby, because their stuff is on point.
I quit drinking beer because I got bored of it. But I had two beers there last night, and they just pretty much knocked me on my ass, man.
They're you know, what do you call it, high gravity. Not too bad, but like 6.7 for their IPA. They've got some Saisons and a Porter. I love the number 6 IPA. They've got music going on up there on Saturdays and Sundays coming up here this spring.
They have a stage behind the bar, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And it's gonna have outside music too coming up, and they're like working with the conservation department to get some like really nice long views. Out behind the place, and it's just a really cool spot, right? Not too far down 44 off the Gray Summit exit. I don't know if you'll see Oak Steel and Lightning out there, but you'll see some of our side projects.
Widowmakers will be out there next Sunday.
Yep, on the what's that, the 5th of March?
March 5th.
Yeah. Yep, and then you might catch me and Andy out there with the River City Grassers Association. We've been picking some gigs out there, and a little of this and that. Got to keep ourselves busy and not, you know, super focused on the band, because
yeah,
it could get tiring at times to be staying on the same wavelength. I mean,
sure,
it's nice to switch it up, but we just love playing music, man.
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, check out Point Labadee. And
I want to also thank D'Angelo's Pizza for bringing us some grub out there to the video shoot, and all the people that came out and made it happen. It was a good time. The video's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Steven's working on it in the other room right now.
Yeah.
Steve Kenyon for all your video production needs.
Yeah. Very nice. Did he do the other one too?
He did not. Alex Bache did the Lonesome Whip of Will video, and we had a great time with him. But Steven is like my best bud. He's all around all the time, and
yeah,
he goes to all of our shows all the time, and he's just kind of been working the camera, and we're kind of learning. It's a learning process and a learning curve, but we feel like the media definitely helps it get out there even more than just the, you
he's
know, kind of
like
the CDs.
Fifth member of the band.
He's gonna be getting a pay cut soon.
We need
so,
to get him a telly.
Yeah, right.
Everyone in the band goes, you get a telly, you get a telly. You're not Steven, you get a telly.
Yeah, I do feel like a good music video and a good song and like could easily gain a lot of traction very fast.
Dude, the Lonesome Whippoorwill video that Alex did totally... It just did so much for the band, like... People look at you a lot more seriously in other markets. It's like very easy to send that to someone, and people judge you off of how good the video looks, you know. And whether they like the song or not, visual audio connection, I think, really pulls it all together. And
I like the truck. That was good.
Wayne's truck, the badass 59 Ford. It's cool.
Yeah.
We got some cars in the new video.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, I want to say it's a 38 Plymouth. I could be off. He's had so many cars over the years, but. The cars are almost, you know, characters in the videos, I think. That's maybe a theme we can keep rolling with. Cause
yeah. My friend's System Slave filmed a music video a little bit back, and they got a smoking hot rod in their video, too. And, yeah, just, I mean, one, it looks cool, but, you know, it's just like, yeah, it gives the video just a little more character to it and,
sure,
and stuff and kind of a... So it's fun, man. But yeah, like I said, those videos are, I think, a good way to, you know, one, you're getting the sound out there, but you're also getting sort of some of the character of the band, you know, whether it's the story in the video or you get to see what you guys look like playing live or whatever it might be. And
we look good live.
Yeah.
Our live show is awesome.
Yeah. So we so keep an eye out for the video coming soon to your YouTube channel or
wherever. It'll be everywhere. Yeah. You won't be able to miss it if you're looking for it.
So follow Oak Steel and Lightning on Facebook.
And like us too. We're trying to get our likes up.
Get your get on there and you'll get to keep an eye on the tour dates coming up and stuff and all the more events being announced there. But yeah, we yeah, man, we got a lot going on. Like I said, the videos and the record coming out and new music. So, what 14? We said 14 tracks.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
Chasing the Sunset is the name of the album, and March 8th off Broadway.
Yeah. You guys, how do we decide on what we do for the album album artwork?
Oh, we got Brad Sarno. He also mastered the CD. It's a Blue Jade Audio mastering. Does a great job, very fast job. After Ross had it mixed, you know, we basically sent it straight to Brad, and Brad got it back to us. I mean, just keep in mind, we just recorded this, was it January? Last weekend in January? Mm-hmm. We've got the whole mixing process done and everything. But Brad is a badass photographer as well. We're going to use one picture, is what we started with, and we moved a few things around. Wayne's wife, Jenny, helped us kind of get the artwork and get it all formatted, as we talked about earlier. That can be a pain sometimes. Yeah. But we ended up using two of Brad's really nice sunset photos, and I think the album artwork looks as good as the CD sounds. So
yeah, very nice.
Super stoked on that. Good job, Brad.
Yeah.
Jenny.
Well, yeah, and again, like, keep an eye out this summer. Coming up, we got Mo Roots. It's going to be a huge party.
Huge party. Bass River Resort.
Yeah.
Down in, what is that, the Cotaway River, Hoosaw River?
Yeah.
Steelville, Missouri.
We got just about everybody there. Aaron Cam and the One Drops, Cass Haley, Matahoochee, John Wayne and the Pain, Way Down Wanderers, Roots of Rebellion, Hootenhollers, Mighty Pines, Driving Wheel, Cluster Pluck, Chinese Connection, WMC, Drift Aways, River Kittens, Lucid, Circo, Blue Fruit Snacks, Lively Mood, The Idea Men, Lee Osborne, Crate to Crate, and Trouble. And some guys called Oak Steel and Lightning. So, oh, yeah.
It's the only one that matters, man.
Yeah, let's go.
Live show.
So, yeah, come out to those. And, again, grab that record on March 8th.
It'll also be available on cdbaby.com and... I think we're revamping our website here soon, too, so look for it online. Yeah.
I think it's going to be available in a couple other spots, too, isn't it? Like some of those other music outlets.
Oh, yeah, Spotify and iTunes, just be able to get it all in there. We're working on getting all that stuff set up. It's supposed to be part of the package, but it's our first time working it at that angle, so we'll see how.
Or just come get them at our shows.
Yeah.
Live shows. Show.
Right. And, yeah, $10 gets you in on the 8th and includes the record, so... Yeah, go home with a copy.
Get them while you can.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Shane.
Yeah, thanks, Shane.
Thanks, Shane.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.